This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Yes, after a couple of weeks away, I am back in the chair, and today we're getting our Yankee Doodle Dandy together. It's American Independence Day this week, and we're going to be talking all things that are fine food Americana. Stick with us.
This is Guy Grossi, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Yes, we are talking all things America today. Good afternoon. It feels very strange to be back in this studio. I haven't been in this chair for several weeks now, and so I need to say a couple of thank yous before we get going anyway. Kathy Lane and Daniela Molica, who presented the show 2 weeks ago, a bit of an Italian festival that we had to. Thank you, ladies. Thank you also to my very gorgeous husband, Nathan Miller, and Mel Young, who presented last week's show here in the station. And I also need to say a big thank you to all of those people who you don't hear from, but you hear of, those people in the background who helped put the program together, in particular, a young, good-looking newsreader by the name of Matt Thompson, who paneled the show for the couple of weeks while I was away as well. So thank you to everyone. It's very nice to be back, and it's very nice to have in the studio a diverse collective of people who are going to share with you a cultural experience that you may never have had. Some of you may have been to America, some of you may not, but to assist us in the cultural significance and a bit of a wander through what American Independence Day actually means, we have with us the former president of the American-Australian Association, Richard Jambara. Richard, welcome.
Hello.
Good to have you in. You're going to be our cultural barometer, as the case may be, as we move through today. Also pleased to have very back a gorgeous young woman who's not long ago been in America herself, shuffling around Texas looking for those 11 secret herbs and spices. Her name is Katrina Hyam. She is from Joe's Bar and Dining Hall. Welcome back.
Hi, thanks, Pete.
It's only been a little while.
It has.
And also in the studio, a man who should need no introduction from the Melbourne Pub Group. He oversees six kitchens, I believe. Hang on, if I can count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He will say six kitchens. He'll probably argue that fact with me. He is also a man of great cultural significance. His name is Chef Paul Wilson. Welcome back, mate.
Howdy.
And such an American accent you have.
Like John Wayne.
Guys, welcome. I wanted to talk about American Independence Day because it's on in a couple of days. We will be experiencing patriotism, and I think, Richard, this is where you might come in to start. You were born in the United States to Australian parents?
Absolutely. I was born in Los Angeles, California.
And you're an American citizen and an Australian citizen?
Both.
Well, that sort of sounds like fun.
I got two passports, which is really cool.
Nice. So,
which means I have to leave Australia on my Australian passport. I have to arrive in America on my American passport, and then coming back if I was to arrive in America on my Australian passport, they would take my passport away from me.
Really?
Yeah, I've declared my nationality, so. Okay. But that's only with America. Everywhere else I travel am I Australian.
I was going to say, how about if you're trying to get into Russia, Cuba or Ecuador?
Well, I can use my Australian. Secrets. I can actually go into Cuba as an Australian.
Can you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Which is good. And also North Korea. So
I think there's a fellow currently ensconced in Moscow that could do with your assistance.
I think I could, actually, yeah. So he's lacking some passports, yeah.
I think he's lacking a lot of travel documents. Talk us through what is the cultural significance, or what is the significance of American Independence Day, and why does it affect us here? Why do we follow?
Well, I did a bit of research, and there is a connection with Australia and America for the Independence Day. Because basically, as people know the history real quick, there were 13 colonies of the United States in that time, like Australia, you know, there was 13. Mm-hmm. They basically started a fight with the British over basically taxation without representation, and they declared on the 4th of July, 1776, they signed the Declaration of Independence, which basically says we're independent of Britain, yet they were still at war with them.
Katrina, so we might need to move you between these two gentlemen here just for a second.
So then what happened then was, so because they then, as somebody told me, or the historians have said, because they no longer had a place to send their convicts to the United States, they said, well, let's send them to Australia. Because a few years later, they came to Australia. So people say that, certain historians say that was actually the motivation to now colonize Australia, was because they couldn't send them to America anymore because they were kicked out.
Mm, and Canada probably just didn't seem worth it. and it was several hundred years ago, Paul, so we're not going to get too incensed about it.
No, we love our Americans in London and England. We adore the Yanks. Good memories.
Yes, very good. So that's
so what it was really simply the 4th of July is the independence, and it's sort of like, in a sense, the birth of the nation. And it was effectively getting rid of the British. It was saying we're no longer allegiance to the crown. We're no longer part of the British Empire. We're now the United States of America. And there was a document which was written by Thomas Jefferson. And, of course, I'll just read the few words which everybody should know, which is relevant to the festivities, which is at the Melbourne Psychic. And it's real quick. It's one line. It's as you know, as everyone's heard him
before. I feel like I should be having some Jimi Hendrix Star-Spangled Banner from Woodstock.
Right, cue it in. And the words were, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." And when you grow up in the United States, as I did, every day you pledge allegiance to the flag, that you're in America, that you're an American citizen, and you're in the greatest country in the world, the land of the free, the home of the brave. And you say it every day at school. Mm. And it's this incredible patriotism. And the people who were fighting the British were called the Patriots. Okay. And the opposition, the British, those who were supporting the British, were called the Tories. And so
and I believe it.
Now we have Russell Brand.
Yes. Yeah. He probably does both. It is 12 minutes past one here on Cravings on Joy 94.9. We're going to have a couple of messages in a minute, but it's become a bit of a multicultural thing as well, because Paul being of British stock and Katrina, Aussie?
Yeah, Aussie and English background as well.
Okay, so we're going to have a bit of an exploration of what some of the festivities in the United States are about, and of course talk about a couple of dinners happening this week as part of American Independence Day. But of course we'd like to hear from you. This is your program, 0427 Joy 949. You can send an SMS to us, and if nothing else, tell me you missed me. You can email onair@joy.org.au, or you can phone 1-300-JOY-949. Leave a message with the front desk. If you're a Twitterer, you can Twitter. You can send a tweet to cravings_joy949. It is 13 minutes past one here on the gayest station in the nation, Joy 94.9.
Bonjour, I am Gabriel Gatte. You are listening to Cravings with Peter Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are speaking with Peter Dillon. This is Cravings. It's 14 minutes past one on a gloomy Saturday, foggy Saturday afternoon. You should be doing nothing but sitting around in your Ugg boots eating, you know, Reese's Pieces or something equally as s'mores, something equally as American, because we are talking, of course, all things American Independence Day, 4th of July, just a few days away. And and two chefs here to talk about their particular events in their venues. From Joe's Bar and Dining Hall, used to be called Greasy Joe's.
Yeah,
people still probably call it Greasy Joe's, but we refer to it now as Joe's.
As Joe's or yes. Joe's Bar.
Your dinner is actually running for 4 days.
Yes, we're doing 4 days worth of almost like a pop-up menu. We're doing 12 items. Thanks, Pete. He's just fixing my microphone for me.
We need to hear you, darling.
Yeah, sorry. We're doing approximately 12 new dishes just for the week. We're running our menu and this menu on top. We're doing things like the mac and cheese with bacon salt. We're crumbing those and deep frying them, of course. Oh. Everything. We've got to have something deep fried on there.
You're going to hear a lot of that, by the way.
We're doing chicken fried steak with sawmill sauce, which is quite a Texas thing, and we're doing s'mores, and we're doing that with candied bacon as well. So there are a couple of
candied
little
bacon.
Yeah, candied bacon. We've been testing brown sugar maple
syrup. There is.
Yeah. Yeah. Bacon wasn't bad enough. Let's sugarcoat it. You know?
Yes, exactly.
And cook it really slowly so it's nice and crispy. So
you can candy bacon with maple syrup, which is just splendid.
Yeah, we did. We actually did 4 different types to start with. We tried white sugar, brown sugar, maple syrup, and we also tried golden syrup, but we found brown sugar to be the best.
Okay.
Yeah.
And didn't invite me to that tasting.
No, I was going to say, where was my blood invitation?
Well, listen, I brought some peanut and caramel chews as a bit of a trade-off for you instead.
One of your countrymen, Paul Wilson, Matt Wilkinson, does a nice bit of, that is the peanut caramel
here being open.
He does a bacon chop with maple syrup, which is quite delicious, at Pope Jones.
Oh, yeah, maple syrup is so delicious, isn't it? It's a taste of the sort of
traditionally a Canadian thing, though, more than
American.
Yeah,
have it on sausages for breakfast, don't they, over there?
They do strange things with it. Paul, you're also doing 4 days of dining at the Newmarket Hotel, one of the kitchens you oversee. Now, is 1, 2, 3, 4, I've counted 5. Is it 5 or 6 kitchens you oversee?
I think it's 5 today.
Next week it could change. Oh,
never know.
So you've got a bit more of a traditional 3-course and beverage event happening.
Yeah, it's quite free-spirited. You can have single plates, you can have a 3-course affair with beverage. Got some great wine from Napa Valley, got some really nice American beer outside of the norm. And
so that's slightly oxymoronic because American beer tends to be quite weak.
Well, Mexican beer classifies as American, doesn't it, I guess?
Sort of. It's from North America or Central America, so we'll say it's
Californian, isn't it? You know, so that works for us. And we've got a block party on the Sunday, which is free entry. And there'll be hot dogs and cocktails and LA tunes and really cool vibes from California, that whole San Francisco vibe happening.
Lock me in. I'll be there with a vengeance for that. Sounds like fun. So what the inspiration for both of you, obviously Katrina probably more so because Joe's tends to be a you know, you do a lot of stuff that has an American flavor about it in some
sense. Diner sort of food as well. We just wanted it to be fun. I think that making this menu and doing a second menu, it had to be a little bit different from what we're normally doing. And also on the Sunday, we're celebrating National Fried Chicken Day as well, which is going to be on the Sunday. Yes.
What time is that?
All day.
I might have to come to you first before I head to Paul's block party so I can get a gutload of fried chicken and then I can go and have some cocktails.
Around the corner.
But you're doing it with the real Southern menu?
We're doing, on the Sunday, we're doing buckets of fried chicken, we're doing popcorn chicken, we're doing fried chicken burgers, there's an eating contest as well that's going on with some fried chicken and Young Gun Hospo, so we're doing a little bit of collaboration with these guys, which is going to be great, and there's pie and New York cheesecake and
I want to jump in because a lot of what I'm hearing from both of you and I think Richard you'll agree with me.
Yeah.
There's a very strong Southern accent.
Yeah.
So Southern America. Whereas there are cuisines that are celebrated on the North Coast on either side, particularly the Northeast, that focus a lot on seafood that we don't hear a lot of. There's chowders and there's
clams,
oysters,
big crayfish, soft shell crabs.
Yeah, San Francisco is sort of right on the water there, isn't it? So it's got very famous fishing sort of culture.
It is, and there is a beautiful place to go and sit, and you can have the Bourdain Bakery.
And, the bread and the chowder.
The big sort of sourdough loaf, and it's filled with chowder, and you drink or eat the chowder, and then you just start ripping the bread apart, and what's if you go and throw it at the seals on Pier 39?
It's a must experience.
To the Seals.
You're absolutely right, Peter. You know, it's the Southern have the real influence from the, I think, from the French, historically. But, you know, in L.A., it's very commercial. It's very easy. It's just hot dogs. It's
simple. Food is as big as your head, and it must have cheese.
When you go, I don't know if your viewers have ever been to Los Angeles in a restaurant. I ordered a spaghetti marinara. And seriously, a huge salad bowl turned up. And I'm like, how am I supposed to eat this?
How many people are supposed to eat this?
I don't know. Yeah, they eat so much food. They give you so much food. It's over the top.
And there is an obesity epidemic in the United States. And I think this may have something to do with
very
it.
Very slightly. Only
cheese.
Slightly.
Cheese. There's cheese in everything.
Cheese. A lot of sugar. Sugar. It's too sweet. In fact, I found, living in Australia and then going back, I was desperately trying to find a place where I could just get like Australian food. Just actually good, wholesome food. Everything is loaded with sugar, lots of fats. It's very hard to
You need
eat
to
well.
Head to California. That's
where the, what's California?
In like the Napa Valley and San Francisco.
Yeah. Oh, and go to...
The food's very fresh. And
one of my favorite places
Napa
in
Valley
California,
is, yeah.
Santa Barbara. And
beautiful.
There's beautiful little... Oh, yeah. I ate my first fried green tomatoes in Santa Barbara and was hooked.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful place and it's very very flat. There's not great big tall buildings. It's quite Argentinian almost to look at. But we are deviating away. We're covering all of the Americas today here on Cravings Joy 94.9, 0427 Joy 949. Send us a message. Tell us of your experience. Have you eaten in the States? You can email onair@joy.org.au. You can phone 1-300-JOY-949 or you can tweet to cravings_joy949 and tell us your thoughts because we do wish to hear them. Rich, we were talking yesterday on the phone and one of the reasons I wanted you to come in was you can talk about the cultural significance of the festivities themselves on American Independence Day. You know, we celebrate Australia Day here by firing up a barbecue, getting a couple of slabs of beer, getting mildly over-refreshed, doesn't matter what day of the week we celebrate that. It's a slightly different feel.
Look, it's really chalk and cheese, and I found that there's a big difference. And when you're in when you're in America on 4th of July, there is this tremendous feeling just across the populace. Everybody's proud to be American. People decorate their houses, their parties. They have 4th of July parties. It's very rare for you not to be invited to a 4th of July party. There is always somebody at somebody's house. And when you get there, it's all banners and red, white, and blue and flags. And it's this tremendous thing. In the public events, there's fireworks, huge fireworks, particularly in New York. Then you also have Pro Bowl games or, you know, football or, you know, whatever. So there's this tremendous feeling. And if I can just say that the psychic, if you compare it to Australia and America, is that people are genuinely very proud to be American. They really just go over the top. So from an Australian observer looking at it, it looks a bit over the top and grotesque and cheesy. But to an American, it's actually very natural.
Okay.
And it's a funny thing. I was just going to say, it was a funny thing. I was talking to an American. Oh, what have we got? Got somebody doing the top over the top of us. Anyway, I was in America, and it's a very funny thing about when you're in America, and this is this may offend some Australians or I don't want to create a wrong impression, but there is no other country but America.
Absolutely.
And you talk to some guy in a business, and he'll say, you know, he's got a business in LA or a business in Boston, and you know what he'll say to me? He'll say, "Hey, Richard, I'm international. I'm in every state of America."
There is that almost, there's it's very parochial, a very parochial place. It's
correct.
Probably one of the places in the world where most of the residents of the United States haven't actually traveled outside of the United States.
40% of the congressmen don't even have a passport.
Which is extraordinary.
Can you believe that? The leaders of the United States who pass all the laws don't even have a passport, 40% of them. And you understand, America is a republic. So the states are very much individual. They have their own rights. That's why, if you know, in the Supreme Court ruling to do with gay marriage, states have passed the laws and the Supreme Court have now ruled that the federal court can't discriminate. So therefore, the states have the rights.
It's been a very big week for our community in the United States. A very big week.
So that's the difference.
I think it's coming here. Now, what we might do, we might take a little a break just for a second and we might have a little bit of music. And cheesy as it gets, it is all going to be American-flavoured music today here on Cravings on Joy 94.9. moment. Now, we are talking about food on American Independence Day, which is happening next week. We're coming back to talk more with Katrina Higham, who's here from Joe's. There's more peanut stuff being eaten as we speak. We do have a tweet for you, Katrina. You sound hot on radio. Wolf Whistles, Fried Chicken America Week 2013. There you go. Katrina has already found herself a fan. If you'd like to be a fan,
thanks, Jade.
0427 Joy 949. You can email onair@joy.org.au or phone 1300 Joy 949. 24 minutes past one. We are on Cravings here on Joy 94.9. It is 1:30 on a Saturday afternoon. I was calling for your responses, and thank you. You have been most generous in sending them in. An email sent from Chris Craig, the cats Dora and Dawn. Hello, Pete. Welcome back, of course. We missed you. That's very kind. Don't stay away so long next time. It was only 2 weeks. And loving the show, celebrating as always. So thank you, Chris Craig and the Pussies. Fernando on the front desk. Good afternoon, Fernando. He's arrived after we've started. He's let me know that Chris has called to give his comments about fascinating food in Philadelphia. Thank you, Chris. And another message, an email this time from Matt in Thornbury, who says a friend brought back two little gifts from his North American trip. From Canada was a beautiful bottle of pure maple syrup in the shape of a maple leaf, which sounds nice. From America was cheese in a can, aerosol cheese. One went straight in the bin. I'm assuming, Matt, that that wasn't the maple syrup.
It's not the maple, yeah.
The Americans also do chickens in a can, whole roast chickens in a can, I shit you not, and they are one of a travesty of diabolical proportions. Taking us through for the next half hour, we are talking all things American Independence Day and American cuisine, if we may. I have Richard Jambara. He is the former president of the American-Australian Association. Chef Paul Wilson, who is not an American, but is doing one of his kitchens, doing four nights of dinners from the 4th to the 7th of July at the Newmarket Hotel, which our listeners would probably know very well, formerly. Was it formerly? It's always been called the Newmarket
Hotel.
Used to be drag shows in the back and
bit of cabaret, bit of fun with toppers, barmaids and the like.
Yeah. A lack of availability of tonic, I remember, from when I went for gin and tonic, didn't have any. No tonic, love. Right, I'll have a beer.
Before my
thank
time,
you.
I might add.
Yes, and Katrina Hive is here from Joe's Dining Hall and Bar. Joe's Bar and Dining Hall, sorry, I'll get that right, in St Kilda. Because you're both doing all things American to celebrate American Independence Day, you're also doing four nights of a pop-up menu. Or 4 days of a pop-up menu. So it's all happening with America. Where did, Paul, your... have you worked in America? Is my first question.
Yeah, I've travelled there quite a bit. I have American uncle and aunts, so we have connections. And I guess being a fan of sort of the top chefs of America, I ate in the great restaurants of New York and did a food tour of San Francisco and Napa Valley. Then I came out to Melbourne and I was approached to open the Newmarket. And we thought, well, Melbourne's just like San Francisco, but there's fog in San Francisco.
Yeah, well, we've got a few less hills.
And but it's a very similar sort of free-spirited community with food and beverage. You know, it's really kind of interesting. And I thought, well, when the Mexican food is so popular in Melbourne at that time, so I thought we'd just fuse the two together. Because Californians celebrate Mexican food, because they're their cousins, if you like. And, you know, California cuisine was born in St Kilda.
Well, they're mostly their staff rather than their cousins in California, but
there's a bit of truth in that.
Yes, yes.
Not over here,
but. And Katrina, you've been in the States this year already, doing a bit of digging around in Texas.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to pack up husband, baby, myself, and head to South by Southwest.
Nice.
So we spent on 9 days in Texas and driving around. And
in Dallas itself?
No. We were down in Austin.
Austin.
And driving around doing a lot of the barbecue and ended up smelling like a barbecue by the end of it. And
not entirely a bad thing. I would find that a bit of a turn-on.
It was delicious. Ate ourselves into comas most days to the point where we actually missed our flight, our linking flight over to London in the UK. We were out shopping for boots for myself and lunch.
I just wish I had known you were going, because I was in LA a number of years ago and I found a pair of cowboy boots that I wanted, a Cuban heel, very traditional cowboy boot. Said to myself, I'm going elsewhere in the States and I'll come back via LA, pick them up, got into LA, went to a hotel near the airport because I didn't want to go back downtown or over to Hollywood. And long story short, I don't have a pair of cowboy boots and I'm very, very miffed that I don't.
I am wearing them today just for a little bit of a...
You'll be thrown out of the studio. Richard, a bit of love here for you. Richard J, intelligent worldly men are super sexy. I'm assuming your wife or your mother has sent that message.
I'm actually single.
Right, okay.
Okay.
Then it's not your wife, maybe your mother. I want to talk more broadly. We touched on this before. The American cuisine, if we were to... I don't think it can be categorized into a particular cuisine, very much like the rest of the world, where like Italy has about 50 different cuisines that every little area you go to, they make a Parmigiana quite differently or whatever the case is. If we were to look at America, we have an opinion of America, which I don't think is quite right. And I want any of you to jump in here, because we sort of think it's all McDonald's and Burger King and Wendy's and hot dogs and sugary drinks and cheese and shit that comes in a can. For those, we've all travelled in the States. I think it's quite different, and I'd be interested in your thoughts. Let's start with New England. If you go and eat in New England, the New England area, Boston, Vermont, or Massachusetts, Vermont, all of that area, there is in almost a very particular cuisine just in that part of the States. Discuss.
Well, there's a big dairy community in Vermont, isn't there? So some great cheese, most of the great cheese comes out of that area. And it's the home of the clam bake, isn't it, as well, I believe, where they have huge clams, New England. Is that right?
I'm fairly confident that you are right.
Yes, on the East Coast. The clam chowder is fantastic. It's the best to me, sorry. There is a couple of restaurants that have come close to it. Actually, I was at the Atlantic at Crown Casino that served a clam chowder that wasn't bad.
Another Englishman at the helm. Is Donovan still
there? Yeah, he's down there at Atlantic.
You know someone in the Atlantic who's the chef down there?
I do, yes. Donovan Cook, very good chef. Yeah.
Mad as a bag full of rattlesnakes, but a fabulous guy, just the same.
I don't see it often on the menu, and when I see it on the menu, I always order it, so it's...
It's clam season now, actually. The winter is where the shellfish sat is best in Melbourne, so some great clams around.
Oysters. Oysters are big on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Lots of places have oysters and different menus. Sorry.
A po' boy made with deep-fried and battered oysters.
Right. It's like a crumbed or fried sort of fried oysters. Delicious.
Yum.
So good.
The South is southern fried chicken. That's it. I mean, it's just
But then there's all the influence from the West Indies in that area of the South, or the Creole, and jambalayas and gumbos and that
and
sort
gumbos,
of thing. Which the West Indies and also the African American influence.
Yeah, it's all barbecue is Carolina, South Carolina, North Carolina. That's the home of barbecue.
And cooking in pits.
Yeah, it's really good eating. Like Ed Mitchell, we had him last year, and we pinched his recipes for his barbecue sauce, which you can try at the Newmarket.
He's an incredible human being.
That man can eat.
Yeah, that man can cook.
He can cook.
Yes.
Yeah, he can.
Yeah.
He's been doing it a long time.
He has. And for those not in the know, he's a large African-American man. He spent most of his time wandering around in dungarees and a lumberjack shirt and looking so cliched in so many senses. And just the coolest dude.
It's the Father Christmas of barbecue, isn't he?
And because he's in his 60s or 70s. I mean, he's not a young man.
No, he'd be in his sort of... better part of his life.
He's on the downhill slide rather than the uphill slide.
What about the grits in the South? Have you tried the grits?
Oh, yeah, made from hominy, which is in Mexican food too. Different type of corn. Yeah, very, very delicious actually.
Has anyone in Australia served grits?
We're serving grits actually.
Where?
Yeah.
You're serving grits.
We serve grits as well.
Next week we're serving grits.
Just explain it, because that's there's a lot of work to really do it right, isn't it?
And people would see this in films and you know, movies about the Deep South where it's grits and biscuits and...
What was that Joe Pesci film? And he was there, My Cousin Vinny?
Yes.
And he was there about, no respecting Southerner uses instant grits.
Yes.
You know, you got to cook your grits.
So, Paul, Katrina, talk us through grits.
Yeah, it's like polenta, really. It's, you know, so you cook it for a long time. Sort of break down the sort of coarse cornmeal. And it has a very unique flavour, sort of sweet and sort of mellow, and it's very unctuous. It's like eating sort of corn porridge, like corn congee. It's comfort food at its best. Delicious stuff.
And made with biscuits, which is very similar to what we would call a scone.
Yeah, you have it with scone, with biscuits. Yeah, and shrimps, generally roasted prawns with like Cajun spices. It's very sort of comforting, so you have something spicy with it. It sort of works really well together.
Well, they do a lot of crabs out of Chesapeake Bay, which is again on the southeast coast of the United States, well known for an oil spill, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Chesapeake Bay produce beautiful crabs.
Yep.
Absolutely beautiful crabs.
Dungeness crab, is that right? Is that the one? Yeah. They're gorgeous. They have big claws, very sweet.
Very delicious meat.
Yeah.
We are sitting here waxing lyrical about all that is American food, and we do want to hear from you, 0427-JOY-949. You can send a text message to that number, 0427-569-949, if you're old-fashioned and can't work out the joy bit. You can phone 1-300-569-949. Fernando is on the desk, and a perfect name for somebody to be on program support today. onair@joy.org.au is the email address, or you can send a tweet to cravings_joy949. If you have a question for Richard, for Paul, or for Katrina about American food that has been bugging you for any amount of time, we'd be interested to help you answer it. This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9. It is 20 minutes to 2. We're going to have some messages shortly, and we may have a little bit more American-inspired music. Katrina, I want to go back to your trip to Texas. Was there something you discovered that was new to you that you've been able to adapt, modify, bastardize, and bring into to Joe's?
The jalapeno poppers were probably one of my favourite.
Do explain.
My husband had just picked up the car, and we were driving obviously on the wrong side of the road to Australians, so that was a scary enough experience to start with. And I suddenly screamed and said to him, "Stop the car, we've got to turn around." And it was Lucy's Fried Chicken, which I had looked up and drooled over and showed my boss and said, "I have to go here, I have to find it." And we walked into Lucy's and grabbed ourselves a beer, a big bucket of fried chicken, and these jalapeno poppers, which are, they were full jalapenos that had been cored out and stuffed with like a cream cheese and recrumbed and fried with sort of the chicken fry batter, and they were amazing, absolutely amazing. And I had to make it into my own, so we came back and we did confit garlic with them and stuffed them and double crumbed them, and we're using like a dark rye crumb, which is just delicious from Movita Bakery. And
I'm going to have to pop off and have a little moment by myself. We might have some messages and we'll... Oh, how could we not play that little skitsy mix of Kids in America? A very apt tune for today's discussion. We are talking about talking all things American Independence Day and food. Now, some other places apart from Joe's Bar and Dining Hall and the Newmarket Hotel, Baronau's Lounge, they're home to an impressive whiskey list, and on the 3rd of July, which is on the eve of Independence Day, they'll be celebrating with a Jack Daniel's whiskey tasting. If you want to feel all of the land of the free, buy one of their cigars and have a stogie and a bourbon. That's at Baronau's Bar, a lounge in Hawthorne.
I was there last night.
Were you?
Oh, I'm smelling it. You can still smell the cigar smoke on me.
Oh, yum.
It's yummy.
Meat Mother, which is all about pulled pork, beef, brisket, and spare ribs, cooked real slow in a smoker, served up with Texas toast and some Brooklyn lager. That's in Richmond, so you can go to Meat Mother. The Kodiak Club in Fitzroy is our favourite free wheel and bourbon bar, and it's all things bourbon up there. You can get in 60 wings in 60 minutes, a challenge to eat a buffalo wings for the 4th of July. That's a hell of an effort. A parlour diner in Windsor, classic American diner, serving all the necessary staples for a successful July 4 celebration, burgers, curly fries and banoffee pie, which I don't know is entirely American. Somebody's claiming that it's American. Isn't that British?
No, well, we kind of borrowed it for a few years.
Okay,
yeah.
No worries. And finally, Captain America's Hamburger Heaven, which is in Ferntree Gully. If you're in that part of town, it's business as usual on the 4th of July, and they'll even take US dollars on the night if you want to spend US dollars at that venue in Ferntree Gully. So there you go. There's some other places where you can go and have a 4th of July experience. They seem to be more and more frequent. Have we, and I know that we do this now with Halloween, we do it with Thanksgiving, I've been invited to Thanksgiving dinners. Are we taking these American things that are quintessentially cultural for American and using them as an excuse to Aussie it up and get a little bit over-refreshed?
Definitely.
Paul, Katrina.
Definitely. I mean, American food is very celebratory. It's very social, isn't it? And I think Australians are very similar too. We love to have an excuse to celebrate. So I think that's what it is.
Yeah, okay. Celebrate is a nice word for it. Paul, well done. Katrina, why the focus for you guys on Independence Day? Is it because of what Joe's is, or is it something you think we're on a bandwagon here?
I think it's partly because we wanted to have fun. We wanted to celebrate 4 days, and obviously Joe's being an American influenced. And it's a reason to let loose and do something different, and we're doing like a quirky menu as opposed to something that we would normally do, and stepping out of the comfort zone a little bit, and you get to celebrate with patriots. Like we were saying before, Americans are so patriotic and Australians are, but we're not to the same extent. We're not.
We're nationalistic, which I think is a slightly different kettle of fish.
But we're patriotic Australians. I've noticed it at football matches and, you know, like the soccer recently. Mm-hmm. You know, I look at the Australians, all different nationalities, all cheering on Australia. That's where we...
I'm sure tonight we're going to be doing the same against the British Irish Lions in the rugby.
Did you see the last kick? He missed the last kick and fell over. I mean, oh.
It was terribly bad luck.
Was that bad?
Yes.
Sorry. Paul's going to beat you tonight, Paul.
Give me a toss because I'm assuming British and Irish Lions will be your team, Paul.
Yes.
We do tend to be nationalistic, particularly with the round ball game.
Yeah.
I give you that. But I just wonder if it's sort of, it's getting to a point where we're adopting Halloween and Thanksgiving, and which culturally don't have a meaning for us. Thanksgiving was nothing to do with anything excepting Americans.
Well, let's explain where Thanksgiving came from. Thanksgiving was that when the pilgrims first landed in America, they basically starved. And in fact, they were actually dying. And the American Indians came along, saw them starving, these white people, and gave them food.
And then we turned around and shot them.
You know, they probably thought, they should have let them die. You know, yes. Sorry. Shouldn't say it. Sorry, folks. But, you know, that's the reason. And so, therefore, the celebration was we thank for giving, the people, the fact of giving, that this other race of, you know, the Native Indians, Native Americans, helped. And so that's why you have the celebration. That's why you invite strangers, people to your house. You give them food. That's why the president and a lot of politicians go down to the food areas for the homeless, and they give out turkeys and they give everything. And it's that one thing, and that's the celebration. That's part of the culture. Mm. And so I'm not sure what we have in Australia that's part of our culture, because we didn't have a battle. Mm. No. We didn't have a battle. We didn't fight the British. You know, we didn't...
We're still kowtowing to
them. If we did fight the British and we did get rid of the Queen...
Yes.
Maybe we would have our Independence Day.
That's what we have. We have the Queen's birthday, and we all make a cucumber sandwich, have a cup of Earl Grey, and it will behave very nicely.
I'm fighting with the Australians every day. What are you talking about?
I wonder if we are allowing the cultural significance of American celebrations to infiltrate our own culture and therefore dilute the message of what they're about, I guess, was where I was going.
I think Australians are very adaptable to and love different cultures. And so I don't think we're losing food here, don't we?
We just love food, and food has no borders. You know, great food.
True.
You just can't get enough of it, can you?
No, no. And you're talking about before eating at some of the great restaurants, no greater day was ever spent for me than at the French Laundry when Thomas Keller was, sitting at number four in the world.
Amazing chef. Yeah. Dedicated,
you know, Pete, I was down at Dandenong. I don't know if you've been to Dandenong recently.
There was an Afghan restaurant.
I went to an Afghan restaurant. I went to another Iraqi restaurant. I mean, there's all these restaurants there. And I've never been. You know, it's been many years.
Lots of three-legged cats around that area.
While we're gigging away, we do have a tweet. Rockwell and Sons are saying they're doing fried chicken, smoked pork shoulder, baked Anson Mills grits, which I think is a brand. Real grits, not polenta. So that
not polenta
ties into what you were saying.
The grits.
You got to try the grits. Australians should try grits the grits to see that you don't want to eat it. Sorry.
And collard greens.
So we're doing grits with short ribs. So we're taking the influence that I got from Italian. And still cooking the grits, like Paul said, really slowly. We're using Vermont Cabot cheese in ours as well, and just making it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. And the Southerners are really proud. I went to a friend of mine, a guy, his name is Don LaFontaine. He just passed away recently. Australian would have heard of his voice. He does all the voiceovers, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, First Blood, Part 2. He's that voice. Oh. He died. His wife was Miss Louisiana from the South. And when I went there, she said, "Richard, hi, Richard, I'm going to make you a breakfast." And I sat down for breakfast. He said, "No, you're going to love this. This is grits." And I'm like, okay, this is the first time I had grits. And I just went, oh, and I'm looking, she's looking at my face like, you better smile. I was like, so good. Your grits are good. And she's like, oh, do you love it? Oh, my God. You know.
I'm just having a moment with our man out of Modern Family, the big guy, just Eric Stone Street, just from the sound. Guys, we've got a couple of minutes to go, so let's talk about your events. Katrina, you can go first because you're the lady.
Oh, thank you. Thursday to Sunday, we're kicking it off on the Thursday. We're doing a four-day menu, a pop-up menu, about 12 items. And then on the Sunday, we're doing in supporting National Fried Chicken Day, which is going to be epic. Make sure you put yourselves in for a table. table and a bucket of fried chicken and a couple of beers. And
that's a perfect Sunday for me. The website where people can go and find
Joe's Bar.com.au, and we're at 66 Ackland Street in St Kilda.
Beautiful. Around the corner from you is the New Market Hotel, Paul Wilson.
And we're doing something very similar. We've got a four-day celebration. There's 30 dishes. You can choose two or three dishes from those 30 dishes, or you can have individual plates. And they're all sort of celebrations of American barbecue and iconic American dishes with a sort of Californian twist. And we've got some great wine from Napa Valley. We've got a block party on a Sunday from 4 to late, which is free. And come on down and try the Buffalo Burger. It's the best burger in town. And we've got Ed Mitchell's ribs, and we've got some key lime pie. It's the hot, second hot, or the equal hot place in St Kilda for American authentic, delicious
food. The joy is that you can have 2 days with the New Market. You can have days with Joe's. You can pop in and have a lunch on the
like
on
a relay.
The Sunday.
Yeah, like a relay.
And then you can go. You can join the block party, and then you can go on the Monday and put yourself in a coma. Richard, I know you'll be dining at both of these. You wanted to say hello to some of your gay and lesbian mates.
I do. I want to send a quick cheerio to Darren, Grania, Rachel and Alice. Hi.
Excellent.
Thanks for listening. And also, just a quick thing, check out our AustralianAmerican.org.
Which
our
is
website.
Your website, yep.
Yep, AustralianAmerican.org. Okay,
excellent.
You can check there and you see some of the things we have.
Beautiful. That's good. Folks, thank you for coming in and joining me. I will be back next week, of course. I'm going to finish with another track that, well, I don't think we can do a show that is American without playing that track. We'll have some messages first. Escape Pod are in very shortly. They're going to take you travelling to where? I do not know, but stay tuned and you will enjoy their travels with you into the next hour. And following that, Chris and Gordon will be here with Been There, Done That as well. I believe their last show for a little while before one of them goes travelling. So New Grid starts next week. Stay tuned here on Joy 94.9, the gayest station in the nation. I have been Pete Dillon, and this has been Cravings on your favourite station, Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.